President Trump put a date on signing the Phase 1 trade deal with China thanks to Twitter. He'll sign the deal with China on January 15th, that's just 2 weeks from yesterday, making the agreement between the two largest economies official. The highlight of the deal that's most interesting to agriculture is China will increase its purchases of U.S. agricultural products in exchange for the U.S. to lower tariffs on some of the imports. The ceremony will take place at the White House, Trump said on Twitter. High-level representatives of China will be present. In addition to ag purchases, China agreed to new commitments on intellectual property protections, forced technology transfers from U.S. companies, as well as new currency practices. Bloomberg says the deal will calm some of the fears that the trade war between the nations would continue long term. The president also said he'll be traveling to Beijing at a later date to begin Phase 2 negotiation. The precise details of the agreement have not been released to the public just yet. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says the details will come out when it's officially signed by both countries. China is doing everything it can to rebound from African swine fever as well, as that epidemic decimated hog herds in the country. Chinese customs officials say they've banned imports of pigs, wild boars, and related products from Indonesia due to the ASF virus outbreak in the northern part of that country. A Reuters article says the deadly disease roared across China itself after first being detected back in August of 2018. Some estimates say the disease reduced the world's biggest pig herd by up to 40%. Beijing has recently issued a series of new measures to boost pig production while also maintaining strict prevention and control measures designed to prevent new outbreaks of the disease. China's General Administration of Customs says on its website that as of December 17th, Indonesia had reported almost 400 cases of African swine fever. As of mid-December, officials report the virus has killed almost 30,000 pigs across the province in northern Indonesia. Authorities are still trying to quarantine that area, which has suffered millions of dollars in economic loss. China also has opened restrictions on importing GMO crops. The government body of China has given its approved safety certificates to 203 new genetically modified crops for planting and import purposes. Official documents that came out this past Monday should pave the way for a wider GMO adoption in the country. The Chinese Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Affairs shared three lists of newly approved GMO crops, including soybeans, corn, cotton, papaya, and many others. One market source told AgriCensus.com that it might be possible that China will open up domestic planting of GMO soybeans sometime soon. China has maintained tight restrictions on GMO crops in the domestic planting in the past. However, it's been more willing to import GMO crops in recent years, including soybeans, corn, and rapeseeds. Soybeans, corn, and rapeseed that were domestically produced within China are said to be non-GMO. Two of the newly improved crops were developed in the U.S. and were licensed for import, one for soybeans and others for papaya. The newly approved certificates will be valid between 3 and 5 years, depending on the crop. Moving on now to U.S. ag news. CoBank says it's not just farmers that saw lower cash returns in 2019. Grain elevators will also see their profit margins drop compared to previous years. The lower returns are blamed on a higher basis for corn, beans, and wheat. A release from CoBank's Knowledge Exchange Division says in addition to having to buy more expensive basis, grain elevators are offering farmer incentives to sell bushels, such as lower rates on storage, free delayed pricing, and free grain drying. Lower quality and high moisture grain coming in from wet fields around rural America also boost elevator costs. Propane shortages last year also continue to put a damper on elevator revenue. As if that's not enough, drying wet grain can lead to commodity shrinkage, which adds to lost bushels and higher costs for elevators. CoBank says those challenges from 2019 will likely carry over into this year. Grain elevators' margins will get squeezed in 2020 by tightness of the basis, diminishing carries in the futures market, and many other challenges from low test weights and high moisture grain, Cobank says. Moving on now to State of Illinois Ag News here at about 6:30 on your Tuesday morning. The Illinois Department of Agriculture, Department of Natural Resources, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is accepting applications through January 21st for the state's Park and Recreation Facility Construction, or PARC, grant program. The program will provide grants to eligible local governments for acquisition, development, construction, rehabilitation, or other capital improvements to park and recreational facilities across the state. The IDNR is anticipating that a total of $25 million in grants will be available through funding provided by the Rebuild Illinois Act. The maximum grant award will be $2.5 million. The PARC grant program will reimburse grant recipients up to 75% of approved project costs. Up to 90% reimbursements will be available to local governments defined as disadvantaged. Eligible applicants are limited to units of local government that are authorized by Illinois law to expend public funding for the acquisition and development of land for public, indoor or outdoor park, recreation, or conservation purposes, and are eligible to apply for funding assistance. School districts, nonprofits, and private entities are not eligible. Applicants must be pre-qualified by visiting their website, grants.illinois.gov/portal, to receive grants from the state. Moving on into other state ag news, the USDA Rural Development Program are being promoted for Illinois communities as we enter 2020.
We have over 40 different programs, and as I like to say, when rural development shows up, somebody's life is going to improve, and that can be water and waste, community facilities, that can be business, that can be housing, and what we've been talking about quite a bit, which I think is where I'll start, is our Reconnect program and distance learning telemedicine. We had a announcement with Undersecretary Bill Northey here touting a almost $13 million investment in high-speed infrastructure through Wabash Telephone, and it's going to install over 300 miles of fiber into an areas that literally had no service before. That's one of the programs where we're actually now into round two. Broadband suppliers, others that are looking to have better service in their area, we have some workshops coming up.
And that was Douglas Wilson, and he's State Director for USDA Rural Development in Illinois. You can learn more about the agency's programs by visiting the website rd.usda.gov/IL. Moving along now to our local Ag Community Bulletin Board, a few events coming up here this month of January. First off, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders will hold their January meeting next Thursday evening at 7 p.m., January 9th on that Thursday, at the Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro. Next event to tell you about, the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District is planning a celebration event to honor its 79 years of working to protect the county's natural resources. The SWCD was formed in Montgomery County in 1941 as a grassroots agency to promote practices that would conserve precious topsoil that was being lost due to dust storms of that era. Employees and district board members work diligently to educate farmers about tillage practices that will leave topsoil in place and reduce epidermal, gully, and sheet rill erosion. The tools of the trade have changed over the years with the size and type of equipment used and farming practices that are always evolving, but the mission of the Soil and Water Conservation District has remained the same. Strive to promote practices that conserve soil, improve soil health, and clean up our precious water resources. Future goals of the Soil and Water District include improved soil health through the use of cover crops and minimal tillage methods, and improve water quality that meets goals set by the nutrient loss reduction strategy. Federal and state programs like the Conservation Practice Program, Environmental Quality Incentives Program, and the Conservation Stewardship Program all provide guidance and cost share to landowners and tenants whose goals are in line with that of the Soil and Water Conservation District's mission statement. Federal and state dollars will also be available for the Conservation Reserve Program and the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. So please plan to attend the 79th annual SWCD celebration on Tuesday, January 14th at 6 p.m. The event will be held at the U of I Extension Office in Hillsboro. A light dinner will be provided following a short program with Ashley Dawson, Farm Bill Biologist with Pheasants Forever. Ashley will discuss the importance of providing wildlife habitat cover and how the programs can be utilized for that purpose. Door prizes will follow the meal, and you need to please make your reservation by calling the office in Hillsboro at 532-3361, extension 3, to Administrative Coordinator Melissa Cobble, and those RSVPs need to be made by January 10th. In other ag bulletins, the University of Illinois Extension will be offering the state-mandated Certified Food Protection Manager's class and exam. The two-day course will be held from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro on January 30th and 31st. Participants are required to attend both days of class. The exam will take place on the second day, and it is also important to bring a photo ID for the class. The class will be taught by Lisa Peterson, nutrition and wellness educator with the U of I Extension. The class provides the minimal classroom work to prepare for the national certification exam. Topics will cover foodborne illness, safe food handling, cooking and storage, employee health and hygiene, safety for the facility as well as maintenance, and cleaning and sanitation. Pre-registration is due by Thursday, January 16th. Pre-registration is required because exams need to be ordered prior to the course. Register by calling the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro at 532-3941 or by visiting their website extension.illinois.edu/CJMM. And finally, the Carlinville FFA alumni will be holding their biannual dinner auction at the Carlinville Elks Lodge on Saturday evening, January 18th. At 5:30. Silent auction will be held from 5:30 until 8. Live auction will be held at 8, and a buffet dinner will be served at 6:30. A ribeye and chicken breast dinner will be the concept of the buffet, catered by the Carlinville Elks. There will also be a cash bar available. Tickets are available, $20 for adults. Children 12 and under are $15. Tickets are available at the C&B Bank and Trust in Carlinville, as well as PJ's Tire, or any FFA alumni member. All proceeds from this event are going to the Carlinville FFA chapter, who is celebrating 90 years here in 2020. And that'll wrap up this Thursday morning edition of the Farm Show. But remember, if you have anything for us for the Farm Show, that can be emailed to us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So for this Thursday morning, January 2nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting, WSMI Ag News.